Shalom Yehudim, shalom Bnei Noach, shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Dalas Be Elul, Parashas Shoftim, Tashin Ayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 6th September 2016. Webcasting from the divided people of Israel. Associated Press today reported on a new initiative by concerned citizens in Israel called Decision 50 that wants a national referendum on the future of Judea and Samaria, though, of course, in the MSM, in the AP report, they did not use these two names, but three, count them, three different names. The headline read, quote, Israeli group seeks referendum on disputed territories. That was the number one choice. And then the lead sentence was, quote, a group of former Israeli politicians, security officials, artists, and social activists on Monday urged the government to hold a national referendum on the future of the Palestinian territories. That was the number two choice. And then, quote, the group launched the campaign ahead of the 50th anniversary next year of the 1967 Six-Day War, in which Israel captured swaths of additional territory, including the West Bank. So that was number three, and in this list was East Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, and Gaza Strip. The Israeli group calling itself Decision at 50 is led by prominent figures in Israel's so-called peace camp, which believes an Israeli withdrawal from the West Bank is essential for the country's survival. So, it turns out that this latest group is just old Ami Ayalon again, that uneducated provincial kibbutznik, and Amram Mitzna, ditto, the kibbutz-bred pro-Jewish socialist naif, and Gilad Sher, remember him, errand boy for Prime Minister Ehud Barak. Their new group is called Decision at 50, or Decision 50, meaning it's been 50 years since 1967, and it's about time Israel made peace with the ancient Palestinians, who deserve to rule an independent state in Judea and Samaria. And they want a referendum on that. They likely feel confident that most of the people would vote to salute the flag of Palestine over Judea and Samaria, which Israel has to, they believe, or it will not survive. The road to peace with the Palestinians is giving them Judea and Samaria. And what commonly strikes yours truly whenever I hear this idea raised, as it was in 1993, is the deadness in such people of Jewish extraction in their souls when it comes to their fellow Jews who have the right to continue living in Judea and Samaria free of Arab violence. It's our right. I'm reminded of an acquaintance, a stroke victim, who typically lost contact with the other side of his body from where the stroke took place in his head, to the point where the very idea of the left was forgotten. This pipe dream of these leftists here sounds nice, but in practice it would mean the destruction of the lives of hundreds of thousands of Jews who have every right to live where they do and not be targets for death from our savage Muslim neighbors. I experience such Israelis like these as traitors to the Jewish people. They have no right not to fight for our rights. They are certainly entitled not to like the Jewish religion, but as fellow Jews, they have an obligation to defend, to stick up for the fellow Jews who are under attack. It's as if they have no capacity for empathy with so many Jews who, to repeat, have every right to live in peace where they do. And people who oppose this presence are plain and simple enemies of the Jewish people. It was Ben-Gurion speaking to the Zionist Congress following the White Paper of 1939 who said no Jew has the right to sign away any part of Eretz Yisrael. These are peaceniks like Amram Mitzna and Ami Ayalon, products of that old Mapai party of social democrats who dominated in their communes. They come off as indifferent to what their plan would mean, the uprooting, the dispossession of Jews from their communities, their livelihoods, the homes they paid for and built and took care of, uprooting them from their synagogues in numbers greater than those expelled from Spain in 1492. The Jerusalem Post columnists these days likewise wave the flag of a Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria, at which point their brains cut off. It's like a power outage. The brain just stops thinking. because the next step is to think about the fate of the 500,000 Jews in the state they want to create, who will obviously have to move. The other side said they will not accept their presence. And in any case, who would want to live there if it's all turned over to the Arabs? What these leftists are envisioning is a massive population transfer. These leftists are the same who swoon in disgust when a Rahvam Zevi or a Rabbi Kahana spoke of transfer, meaning the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, over to the East Bank. But then, oblivious to their own hypocrisy, they advocate, if not explicitly, then implicitly, the mass transfer of Jews from Judea and Samaria, which would be the logical outcome of handing these hills over to the Arabs, for no Jew would tolerate becoming a citizen of the old new state of Palestine, run presumably by the Muslim Brotherhood. That's Hamas. These Decision 50 fools undertake these peace initiatives. They're all products of the kibbutz, where they grew up, in these hothouses of socialist nonsense divorced from the world. Nowhere in their dream of peace is the price. How much is it going to cost to transfer 500,000 Jews to new homes? Or will they first have to live in displaced persons' refugee camps? And where will those be located in this tiny country? And who will pay to feed them in the interim until their homes are built? These post-Jew nincompoops like Shimon Peres, these guys, have their heads in the clouds. 3 months after the horror of watching Peres and Rabin on the White House lawn shake hands with Arafat and Mahmoud Abbas, Shimon Peres published his new book, The New Middle East, which was an embarrassment even then, before seeing where it all led to. In it were Shimon's beautiful visions of a new Middle East in which the borders disappeared, just like in the Europe of the European Union, and all the peoples would be able to travel freely from one country to the next, friendly tourists and businessmen. It was all such cotton candy for the mind. And there have been statesmen and politicians who, after leaving office, have written books of distinction. Churchill, Dean Acheson, Ulysses S. Grant, Teddy Roosevelt, versus Uncle Shimon the Visionary, as he was called. I prefer the word delusionist over visionary. No serious assessment of the Arabs and the Muslims was in his brain. All that was needed, he thought, was goodwill on both sides. And he believed there was goodwill on both sides when both sides shook hands on the White House lawn. The AP report said of this latest peace camp apparition, quote, "They believe that the establishment of a Palestinian state will ensure Israel's future as a democracy with a solid Jewish majority. The alternative, they claim, is a binational state in which Israel either risks losing its Jewish majority or rules over millions of disenfranchised Palestinians," close quote. More indications, I think, of just how poorly educated and miseducated are these products of the kibbutzim. Leftists like them suffer from some kind of palsied imagination that limits their thinking to these two options, citizenship or no citizenship. Either Israel retreats from the high ground and turns everything over to the Palestinians, or Israel will lose its identity as a Jewish majority state, or rule over disenfranchised Palestinians. First of all, they were never franchised, so they cannot be disenfranchised. It's just fancy talk for having citizenship, when it is really inhuman to even consider giving these people citizenship in Israel in their current stage of social development. These people applaud those who slaughter our little girls in their beds. And now we're supposed to give them citizenship? Under no circumstances, I say. Secondly, no good can come from continuing to call these people Palestinians, when Palestinian history and culture is not what moves them. There is no Palestinian history and culture to inspire them. The only ideology that does is Islam. And that was proven here in 2006 in the free elections, when three-quarters of the legislative council were Hamas members after the election. It's what happened in Egypt when Mubarak was deposed. The majority in these cultures will always vote for Islam, vote for the Muslim Brotherhood. And in this part, that's called Hamas. So Amar Mitzvah and Am Yaalon do not factor into their dreams. The reality that absent the IDF, absent the Jewish communities, Hamas will rule here, for that is all these Arabs know. Here we have reality that is very much a product of language, just as George Orwell taught us. By calling these Arabs, these Muslims, Palestinians, we attribute to them an identity they do not have. Long before they started calling themselves Palestinians, they were and remain Arabs, and they were and remain Muslims. And as these leftists are cut off from fellow feeling for fellow Jews whom they want to abandon, whose lives they do not take into account in their dreams of peace, they're cut off from Jewish history under the Muslims and the innate Jew hatred that is Islam in its blackest of black hearts.
שנים שלא הרגשתי שקשה לי בלעדיך לא באמת ידעתי מה עשית בחייך חשבתי שאני ילד רגיל כמו כולם שבעבר שלו יש חור שנעלם פתאום גיליתי שאתה מאוד חסר אני לא יודע מה אתה אומר אף פעם לא דיברת איתי אף פעם לא מציאותי אז איפה אתה עכשיו? למה לא בא אליי? אני צריך ממך עצה ועידוד כיוון בחיי איפה אתה עכשיו? אולי אתה מעליי אולי תשמע את קולי אולי תרגיש את געגוע התבגרתי ויש לי משפחה אני בטוח זה ממלא אותך שמחה והיום מחפש שורשים שיחזקו ברגעים הקשים חושב אם אני אבא טוב בעיניך מה לספר לילדיי אודותיך לקבל אותך מחדש בתוכי איפה אתה עכשיו? אולי אתה מעליי אולי תשמע את קולי אולי תרגיש את געגוע איפה אתה עכשיו? למה לא בא אליי? אני צריך ממך עצה ועידוד כיוון בחיי איפה אתה עכשיו? אולי אתה תשמע את קולי אולי תרגיש את געגוע שלא הרגשתי שקשה לי בלעדיך
Now, here's another story in Israel from last week, reflecting the same leftist numbness when it comes to other people. Think of the callousness of the communists in their heyday in the Soviet Union, when they literally forced herded people by the thousands into communes and ordered them to live communally, and never mind what the people themselves thought about the idea. It came to be called forced collectivization. To the credit of the socialist Zionists, that was never an issue here. Every adult in a kibbutz to this day, if he's unhappy, just walks. You can leave any time. They've worked so long precisely because they are voluntary. The callousness of hurting people like that was so typical of communism everywhere, there in mainland China, Cambodia. What's interesting is the hypocrisy of leftists who, in their own ideas, are do-gooders when they do things like this. They are the vanguard of the people who know what is best for the people, when in practice there have been no greater oppressors of the people than the National Socialists in Germany and the Soviet Socialists in Moscow, communists in China, Vietnam, Cambodia, all countries that experienced massacres of their people by their socialist saviors. And so last week there was an uproar in Tel Aviv when the dedicated Israeli post-Jew mayor there, Ron Huldai, another product of the kibbutz, former fighter pilot, 2 years younger than Ehud Barak, had the big idea of taking a much-beloved and excellent public school away from the current student body and turning it over to the children of the illegal aliens who have crashed inside the country. This is a public school, but a competitive one, I think, sort of like New York's Stuyvesant High School or Bronx Science, whose dominant population are the offspring of that mass Russian aliyah in the 1990s. I taught their relatives in Brooklyn at that time, English. For those who admitted to the U.S. at the time, most came here. And that was a great experience. That was a great community, educated, cultured, polite, smart. And that is characteristic of these junior high and senior high school kids who come from all over the country to attend to this special school. They want to be there, they love their teachers, and the feeling is mutual in their studies. And here was Ron Huldai, ready to ruin, destroy basically, this standout institution in order to act out his compassion for the children of the illegals who broke the law crashing into our country. Typical of the left, it was the initiative of a do-gooder who would not himself suffer from this upheaval. Leftists demand, for example, that the government spend more money on the poor, but of course they themselves contribute peanuts to the needy. So in this case, there was such an uproar from the current student body and from their parents and from the teachers in this school, where something like 100% of the students passed the matriculation exams for university education, Huldai had to reverse course. For sure, we must provide humane treatment and compassion for these illegal children, but the charity begins at home and cannot come at the price of destroying such a stellar institution. It's this left with their visions of goodness, like Shimon Peres in his New Middle East, the communists in the Soviet Union with their forced collectivization, because living like a good communist in a commune, they said, was the best way to live, according to the vanguard of the people, the party. And not coincidentally, notice how the left hates religion, as Marx himself hated religion, in particular Judaism, which he held rightly responsible for Christianity and Islam too. All dictators hate the Jews, for the vision of Hashem above us all allows no human leader to demand absolute power over us. Nazism, communism, Islam are all three totalitarian forms of government and society, and all hate the Jews, whose founding story as a people was of a slave revolt, a great escape to freedom. This is the same mayor who has said snide things about religion and insults those who have opposed the annual bacchanal of his gay pride parade. The good news is that his generation of Sabras is passing from this world, and one hopes the generations to come will be more sophisticated Israeli Jews than Ami Ayalon, Ehud Barak, Shimon Peres, Yitzhak Rabin, and Ron Huldai.
שוקדת לי עכשיו אני מרחיש את צעדיי אני מרגיש זוכר פתאום עברתי עוד עשו חלום אני לא יודע מה עובר עליי בתוך תוכי נוגן כינור קורא לי בי לחזור אתה צועק בדרך מתאספים המון עטופת לי תברתי נושא עיניי לכל אדיר אני לא יודע מה עובר עליי עוד אבוק בהשגחה של הסוף אבל הסוף הזה נראה לי מבורך הולך בין האנשים ברחוב צועק אוהו אוהו עכשיו אני מרגיש כאילו יד אוחזת בי עכשיו אני מרגיש בטוח ומאושר אני מרגיש זוכר פתאום עברתי עוד עשו חלום אני לא יודע מה עובר עליי עוד אבוק בהשגחה שאין לסוף אבל הסוף הזה נראה לי מבורך הולך בין האנשים ברחוב צועק אוהו אוהו בורא עולם אוהו אתה צועק בדרך מתאספים המון עטופת לי מערתי נושא עיניי לכל אדיר אני לא יודע מה עובר עליי עוד אבוק בהשגחה שאין לסוף אבל הסוף הזה נראה לי מבורך הולך בין האנשים ברחוב צועק אוהו בורא עולם הולך בין האנשים ברחוב צועק אוהו בורא עולם הולך בין האנשים ברחוב
listening to www.deprogramprogram.com broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben Tekoa. So maybe, as I think about it, when it comes to Israeli leftists like these kibbutzniks, Maybe it was their upbringing in the communes that made them the men they are. When they were infants, they were taken from their mothers at the age of 6 weeks and raised in the Beit HaYeladim, the children's house, where, they, as the stories tell us, they commonly cried out for their mothers in the night. But in the nature of things, the young woman who worked night shift with 20 kids squalling could not provide the same level of tender, loving care. And so these men are defective when it comes to empathy, perhaps. I don't know. It's a question for the late Eric Erickson and other developmental psychologists. For sure, these communes they grew up in, these ghettos, which is what they were all 100% Jewish, as any Satmar community was, albeit without Hashem in their lives. And as a result of their isolation from the larger Gentile world, and in combination with the half-baked Marxist disdain for religion, they're commonly blockheads when it comes to our Muslim neighbors, whom they insist upon calling Palestinians, when there's nothing Palestinian about them. They're likewise ignorant of the anti-Semitism of their fellow contemporary leftists in the world. In the first half of the century, it was fascism and Nazism, both mistakenly identified as of the right when they were also of the left, when they were of the left. But for sure, since the 1960s, it is the left that supports terrorism and virulent anti-Semitism, disguised as compassion for the phantom Palestinians. One wonders if they know at all, these leftists here, of what's happening in Europe and the States. Islam's on the march, which by its very nature, in the hands of its most activist enthusiasts, is a totalitarian, imperialist, crusading ideology. The Clarion Project, on their website, reported last week that in England, the Daily Mail reported, on the vicars in Britain now being advised not to go out in public in their clerical collars to avoid being targeted by violent Muslims. English churches are being advised to install closed-circuit security cameras. Churches are being advised to make sure its doors can be bolted shut in the event, obviously, of an attack by massive Muslims. The UK recently also announced it was allocating £2.4 million to increase safety in all places of worship. This is Islam on the march, partnering with the BDS movement, which is anti-Semitism, for its drive to destroy the world's only Jewish state. Now, perhaps you saw the story out of Syracuse University. Caroline Glick wrote it up in her column today in J-Post. Evidently, an anti-Jew Israeli filmmaker who lives in New York made a film called innocuously The Settlers, which he has now come to regret because it does not do full justice to his artistry and handiwork. It is a classic settler-bashing propaganda distortion. He submitted it to a film festival, but the BDS cultists threatened the administrator, and she withdrew the invitation. Neither she nor the BDS people having seen the contents of the film, all that was important was the fact of his Israeliness, this filmmaker, that he probably supports BDS himself, meant nothing to these modern-day brown shirts. It cannot be a good thing that on college and university campuses, these delusional anti-Jews are now actually threatening any pro-Israel ideas and pro-Israel people. And make no mistake, they are delusional. It has taken a lifetime, but I've given up thinking that these hysterical Israel bashers, as I used to think, know deep down that their propaganda is not true. But that's okay, because all's fair in love and war, including lying. Israel is overall an evil enterprise, and so you can say whatever you want, even can say there's apartheid when there isn't. But I no longer think that way. I think they're really hallucinating. This filmmaker reportedly in his film portrays, quote, rampant acts of terrorism by settlers against Palestinians. For the settler movement is inherently racist, and a culture of apartheid there has been created in the West Bank. Rampant acts of terrorism by settlers against Palestinians. I'd love to see a ledger, one side for the number of Jews in the last year murdered in Judea and Samaria by Arabs, and the number of Arabs murdered by Jews. This filmmaker is clearly an anti-Semite for objecting to Jews living exclusively with other Jews in their settlements, excluding Palestinians, you see. And never mind that the city of Shechem and the city of Hebron, aside from the Jewish ghetto, are exclusively Arab. That's okay. It's a variation of the anti-Jew who smears Zionism as a form of racist exclusionism while remaining mute before the fact of the existence of 21 officially Arab states and 21 officially Muslims, 56 officially Muslim states. These are not racist societies. Only when the Jews claim the desire for a Jewish state, as Jewish as an Arab state is Arab, do the anti-Jews start foaming at the mouth about Zionism as a form of racism. In a way, as yours truly enjoys the pariah status at the UN, makes me smile. So these kinds of mental gymnastics, fueled by such hatred of Jews, are more evidence, like the prophecy of Bilam come to life, of the power of the Jewish idea. It can make some men crazy. Edward Alexander, who lives out in Seattle, teaches out there, I think, a writer on Jewish subjects. He wrote a book recently with that title, I think, The Jewish Idea. The late Rabbi Kahana used that term as well, and I can't think of anything better to replace it. The Jewish idea, the very idea of Jews and what we believe in, has been arguably an engine of history that moves it along like no other. With Jewishness, without it, there would be no Christendom, there would be no Islam, there would be no Crusades, no Reformation, no jihadis, no Barbary pirates, those seagoing soldiers of the one true faith. Well, at Syracuse, evidently, this latest anti-Jew scandal of the BDS cultists threatening a film festival administrator with some kind of retribution against her reputation, I think, among the left, was reversed. The president heard of the situation and ordered the administrator to reinvite the Israeli filmmaker. But apparently, no action will be taken against the BDS cultists. Well, I guess it's just another episode in the same long war as that news item about Vickers in jolly old England being warned about homicidal Muslim maniacs out to murder them.
כל הנשמה
הללו בתקע שופר הללו בנבל וכינור הללו בתקע שופר הללו בנבל וכינור הללו בטוף ומחול הללו במינים באוגם הללו בצלצי די שמה הללו בצלצלי תרועה כל הנשמה תהלל כהללוקה כל הנשמה תהלל כהללוקה כל הנשמה תהלל כהללוקה כל הנשמה תהלל כהללוקה הללו בתקע שופר
Okay, that's it for this evening, this Tuesday evening. I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.